WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy Tuesday. Yes, Tuesday is here. It is October 28th, and I hope you're having a good one. Man, I can't believe October is almost a wrap. Can you believe that? Crazy stuff, but man, oh man, we have a great show in store for you all today. We'll talk a little bit about the Lions. Yes, we didn't get to all of that yesterday, considering the fact that, yeah, Michigan and Michigan State football ruled our airways, and many of you weighed in. Oh boy, that was quite the discussion. But we'll finally get to the Lions and talk about their big win in London over the Falcons as time expired. You'll also get to hear a pretty cool feature on the East Lansing boys soccer team as they have a pretty big matchup against Mason tomorrow for a chance to compete in the state championship game. Exciting stuff there. And speaking of high school sports, we'll be talking with Scott Yoshanis, local prep sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal. He's going to give us a rundown of the 22 local area high schools that have made the playoff cut and what to expect in this year's playoffs. All of that and so much more, but that's custom here on Current Sports. Before we do get to all of that, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this Tuesday. All right, folks, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this October 28th, 2014. We'll start with some news that I don't want to report, but I got to. Yeah, my Cowboys. The Washington Redskins shut down the Dallas Cowboys' six-game winning streak last night with a 20-17 win in Jerry World in Dallas. Yes, the Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo, who had surgery last December for a herniated disc, was injured during the third quarter on a sack by Keenan Robinson and temporarily had to leave the game. Romo was able to return at the end of the fourth quarter and played all of OT, but his efforts weren't enough. All right, the World Series, folks. The Giants and Royals will meet for Game 6 of the World Series tonight in KC. San Francisco currently leads the series 3-2. First pitch is set for 8:07 p.m. on Fox. The Giants will send Jake Peavy to the mound, and the Royals will give the ball to 23-year-old rookie Jordano Ventura. All right, MSU's Javon Best, folks. MSU freshman forward Javon Best is out for at least a month with a foot injury, actually. He will undergo surgery today to repair the fifth metatarsal in his right foot. This makes it more likely that freshman Marvin Clark Jr. will have a significant role early on. Now, the Spartans open their regular season. Can you believe this? On November 14th at Navy, just weeks away, folks, followed by a big game against Duke on November 18th. They will be in Florida for the Orlando Classic November 27th through the 30th, which is right around the time Best could make his comeback. So there you have that. It's also MSU Men's Basketball Media Day. Right after we hit the air at 2, we'll be heading over to the Breslin Center to give you coverage of that. Keep it tuned to WKAR.org. for full MSU Men's Basketball Media Day coverage later on in the day. All right, the Tallahassee Police Department issued a statement yesterday that they are investigating an alleged domestic battery case involving Florida State running back Carlos Williams. Now, head coach Jimbo Fisher, in response to a report that Williams had been suspended, said, quote, "There's another false report, and that's amazing how things happen. Whoever has sources, whoever has rumors, needs to check who they are talking to, because that is about as far from the truth as there is." Strong comments there. Now, FSU Athletics said in a statement, quote, "The athletics department is aware of an investigation by the Tallahassee Police Department involving football student athlete Carlos Williams. Until we receive more information regarding the alleged incident and his status with the team, will be under review," end quote. So there you have that. All right, Basketball Hall of Famer Charles Barkley was at a media launch of TNT's Inside the NBA on Manhattan Monday afternoon and gave his opinion on the NBA's announcement that the league will examine its domestic violence policy. Now, Barkley said, "I think Adam Silver should come right out now and say, hey, once you're convicted of hitting a woman, you're getting 10 games. The second time you do that, your blickety blank blank is never playing in the NBA again. Now, Barkley ripped Roger Goodell on the NFL's handling of the domestic violence issue, noting that a similar type of punishment should have been enacted in the NFL long before Goodell's press conference in mid-September. Barkley said, quote, "It's a joke what these guys haven't been able to accomplish." And I'm excited about tonight because the NBA regular season opens with three games. The Orlando Magic will take on the New Orleans Pelicans in New Orleans at 8 p.m. Also tipping off at 8 will be the Dallas Mavericks and the reigning world champion San Antonio Spurs in San Antonio. At 10:30 p.m., the Houston Rockets will take on the Lakers in Los Angeles. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those and more, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at AlMartinWKR or at our official Current Sports Twitter page of WKR_sports. Folks, man, we have a loaded show to say the least here on Current Sports. A lot to talk about, a lot to discuss. We'll bring to you two interviews, one with Scott Yoshanis of the Lansing State Journal. Scott does one fantastic job covering local prep sports. He's going to talk about Selection Sunday, you know, where a lot of local area teams gathered together at one central location and had Fox Sports Detroit on as FSD does their annual, Selection Sunday thing where they select all the schools and they release all the schools and pairings that will be taking place for high school football. Who will make it to Ford Field, folks? And if you're, you know, in this area, there are so many area teams that have made their playoff hopes come true. Actually, 22 local area high schools did make that playoff cut. So Scott is going to join us to talk about that in just a sec. Also, want to remind you all that Current Sports TV will be back in action tomorrow. Now, this is a little different week for Current Sports TV because usually we tape each and every Wednesday at 6 p.m. But we're flipping the time for tomorrow. It will be actually taking place at 9:30 a.m. That's right. Rise and shine, folks. Get that coffee, that mocha, head over, that five-hour energy, whatever gets you up in the morning, and head over to the WKAR-TV studios and enjoy that episode. I'll be sitting down with the sports columnist for the Lansing State Journal, Graham Couch. Graham will be joining me to talk about the MSU football team. And yes, we'll be diving into State Gates or Stake Hate, whatever you want to dub it. We'll be talking about that rivalry matchup that took place on Saturday, and we'll also sort of give you guys a preview on the MSU men's basketball team, and also how Graham got into becoming a columnist, a sports columnist in general. He was actually, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but Graham's first track was actually broadcasting. Yeah, he was doing TV, folks. So we'll talk about that and dive into Graham's past a little bit. So if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, you simply go to WKAR.org and sign up online for free. And all you got to do from there is just show up. I love seeing your smiling faces each and every Wednesday, okay? And also later on in the day, on today's show, I should say, is we'll be talking about the Lions. We didn't get to the Lions on yesterday's show because, of course, we were flooded with the MSU and Michigan football conversation. But we will get to the Lions, talk about their big win in London. They knock off the Saints the week prior to that and now get a big win, another comeback win over the Falcons. We'll talk about that. Also bringing you our weekend winners. We didn't get to that as well. And also you hear a pretty cool feature when the East Lansing boys soccer team. And you get to hear from DeJuan Jones and Nick Archer. Nick Archer, the head coach over for the Trojans. So, man, they are so close right now to possibly doing something that's never been done in East Lansing soccer, boys soccer history, and that's to win back-to-back state titles. So we'll see if they can make that dream come true, and you get to hear from DeJuan and head coach Nick Archer. So before we get to all of that action, let's bring in Scott right now. Again, Scott Yoshine is certainly a friend of Current Sports. He's a local prep sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal. Scott, my man, how you doing?
Good, Al. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, my man. It's certainly a busy time of the year, to say the least, for you. 22.
Absolutely, yeah.
Without a doubt. 22 local area high schools making the playoff cut. First question for you, Scott. Mm-hmm. Were there any that surprised you and any surprises that missed the cut?
Well, no, not really. Really, from an emotional level, I think it's weird that Portland hasn't made it. They snapped an 11-year playoff run this year. They finished 4-5, but no, I mean, most of the quality teams in the area made the cut, and there are quite a few that could go all the way. I mean, we could have as many as three solid state champions this year.
Yeah, and I want to dive into that. I mean, which teams have the best chance of going all the way to capture a state championship this season?
Well, the first team you have to talk to in that conversation is Ithaca. They've won the last four state titles. They've won 56 games in a row, and you know the old saying how the contest doesn't always go to the strong or the race to the swift, but that's the way to bet. Pretty much, that's pretty much what the way it is with them. I mean, I'm just going to pick them until further notice. They have a halfway easy district. They would meet if pairings held. They would meet Flint Beecher in the regionals, and they would have an intriguing matchup if they make it to the state final against Jackson Lumen Christie, which would be kind of a big deal. I mean, two fairly historical programs.
Yeah, certainly. And you know, and you talk about Ithaca, you know, winning four state championships, 65 game winning streak, the longest current streak in the country, mm-hmm. and number 11 all time nationally. Now, the streak is actually the second longest in state history, trailing only the 72 game win streak at Hudson that ended in 1975. The first year of the state playoffs. I mean, when you look at this run, because it blows my mind every single year how Terry Hesbrook and the Yellow Jackets are able to rattle off, they never lost in I don't know how long. I mean, how much does that blow your mind in this whole thing?
Oh, it's incredible, and not only that, but they haven't really been given a game except for one time in that whole streak, and that was last year. In last year's state semifinal against Montrose, that was a. In fact, I was there. It was a miserable, cold, windy, blustery day, and they escaped Montrose with a 21-20 win. But and that was a game where they were evenly matched, I think, and they won the game. I think they would tell you this probably the most hard-fought game they've had, maybe ever, but certainly in this winning streak.
Yes, certainly. And, you know, the other teams, exactly. You talk about Portland, too. First time in, 11 seasons that they've missed the playoffs. I mean, what went wrong for them this season?
Well, I mean, that's just kind of the cycle of getting players in Portland. Remember, the last few years, they've had incredibly strong defensive and offensive lines, and have sent several players almost every player every year almost to play college football. This year, they didn't have that. They didn't have that the big anchoring college level player on the line in the trenches, and that cost them. I mean, their defense is built around guards. Their offense is built around guards. You know, they have a lot of traps and counters and such, and they just didn't have the kind of talent that they're using.
Right, sir. Oh, Alex, do we have him? Is he on? Is Scott still there?
I can hear you.
Gotcha. Okay, you're still on. Just making sure, Scott.
All right, good. Yeah.
So now you talk about Ithaca being one of those teams that could possibly win another state championship here, and you talk about another team or maybe two other teams here. I mean, what are those other teams? I'm sure maybe DeWitt and Sexton may be in that conversation as well.
Those are the two I was thinking of. Yeah, DeWitt obviously they've shown that they have the quality to go deep, and Sexton obviously. Sexton might have the biggest speed bump on the way to Ford Field though. They have kind of a weird draw. They have Saginaw Swan Valley in their district, which is odd because, I mean, if you go by playoff points, Sexton is the top-ranked team in Division 5, and Swan Valley is third, and they're going to meet in the district. Swan Valley has had one loss in the last 2 years, and that was last year to Sexton in the regionals. So that's going to be a game to watch I think the winner of that would be almost favored to win the whole thing.
Yes, so certainly.
It's going to be a kind of an unwarranted speed bump for Sexton, kind of early in the playoffs.
Now, when looking at all these pairings that came out this past weekend, Scott, I mean, who has the toughest draw out of all of the all of the local teams?
Well, the toughest draw in terms of the draw that they shouldn't have got probably Sexton.
So it is Sexton.
Yeah. And another example, I think, if you go on to eight man football, I think that Portland St. Patrick kind of got hosed a little bit in their draw. They lost one game. They're slated to travel to Lawrence in their first round. They're 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
Morris went 5-4, and they're hosting. Trying to figure that out. But
boy.
Yeah, and it's some, I mean, that's kind of that's all about districts and regionals and such like that. But I think that St. Pat's has the draw that they deserve the least out of anybody in the area.
Now, in that same token, mm-hmm. Scott, if you will, I mean, when looking at the playoff system in high school football in the state of Michigan, are there any flaws that you think should be changed, or do you think it's a pretty solid system and pretty hard to tweak and make better?
I actually like the system. I mean, I think that it rewards teams for doing well. I don't think that there are any teams in the playoffs that don't deserve to be there. You get the automatic qualifiers and then you have all the rest. This year, I think it was 27 teams I guess you call them at-large teams that didn't automatically qualify by winning six games or five games if they played eight. But I actually like the way it's gone. Just some of these districts and regionals and things like that are kind of leave you scratching your head. But you know, in the end, you got to win the games, and so you play who's in front of you and go from there. But no, I think every deserving team gets into the playoffs, I think.
Definitely. All right. Well, now that the regular season is finished, Scott, I mean, looking at, you know, this entire high school football season and this year for you, I mean, it just kind of reflecting on the year that was. What are some of your most memorable games or memorable moments throughout this year?
Well, it's kind of hard for me to pick them out because I've seen a bunch of blowouts.
Is that so?
I think one of the most fun things was watching Eaton Rapids. This is a game I'm going to cover this Friday. Last year was the first year they were ever in the playoffs. This year is the first time they're ever going to host a playoff game, and it was just fun to see how and let's face it, before that they were completely downtrodden. I mean, they'd won something like seven games or three games in the last 7 years or some ridiculous thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're in the playoffs. They seem to have turned the corner. They have emerged from being one of the very worst teams, programs in the era, to a two-year playoff qualifier. So that was kind of fun to watch.
Were there any other teams that you expected to have a good year but just perform below expectations?
Well, not really. I expected a little bit more from Bath. I wasn't expecting them to win the CMAC by any stretch, but I figured that they were going to be a little bit better than a two- or three-win team. I think that... But those are few and far between. I think for the most part, the teams did what was expected of them.
Certainly. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with local prep sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal, Scott Yoshanis. Now, Scott, the weekend is coming up, and, you know, the playoff games are about to start. Where will you be at?
I'll be at Eaton Rapids. I'll be covering their first ever playoff game at home. So that'll be kind of fun. They actually have a decent draw. They have a pretty good chance of winning that game. They'll be playing Kalamazoo United, which is kind of the combined team of Kalamazoo Hackett Catholic and Kalamazoo Christian. They combined to form a team this year, and they're 6-3. But I was looking at their records, and they have not recorded a win against a team that finished with a winning record.
Oh wow.
So I think that this will be a game that Eaton Rapids can win. They have some pretty good results this year. They've played well. They've been kind of up and down, but that's partly because their quarterback Jared McDaniel has suffered through a thumb injury, and
mm-hmm.
so. But he's healthy now, and they took Schlott to the woodshed in the last game of the regular season. So they have some momentum going into the playoffs.
Gotcha. And where would that game be?
At Eaton Rapids.
That's at Eaton Rapids. So that's essentially a home game for him. That's great.
Yep. First ever
playoff home game then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fantastic stuff. All right, Scott. Now, you know, with all of these teams, again, I mean, 22 local area high schools that made the playoff cut. I mean, how in the world are you able to keep up with all of these local teams? Does it get overwhelming at all?
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, I can't see as many of the teams play as I'd like to. But I think we do a fairly good job of getting to as many games and many teams as we can. There's so much good football played around here. I mean, it's really just, I mean, Friday nights in the fall is just a great place to be around.
Yes, it certainly is. All right, Scott, before I let you off the hook here, If you could, I want to get your team of the year and coach of the year, and possibly a player of the year, if you will.
Oh, my. Okay, putting me on the spot here.
I'm putting you on the spot, I know.
Team of the year. Let's see. I think that, I guess if we're going for the best team in their division, it's got to be Ithaca. Obviously, they're the team to beat until further notice.
Okay, so we got Ithaca for team of the year.
Yeah, I almost hesitate to even try to name a player of the year because I haven't seen them all, and so it's really difficult. I'm not even going to do that.
Okay, we'll pass on that one.
See.
Coach of the year.
Let me think here. I don't know. There's so many good coaches. I mean, and so many programs that are doing well. I think that.
Give me a name.
Everett. Marcel Carruthers.
Marcel Carruthers. Yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah, he's done quite a lot. I mean, he's got a lot of talent, obviously, but they play well. I saw them play Grand Ledge, and. They were pretty impressive, and they really up and down the roster. They played extraordinarily well in that game. So I mean, again, I don't see as many games. I'd love to be able to see three or four games from each team and such. But I think in terms of Coach of the Year, I think he did a really good job.
Yeah, Marcel definitely, and he does actually each and every year. And you know what? You know, watching that game that they Everett versus Sexton to end the year. I mean, my goodness. I mean, Everett they were right in that game, right in the thick of things against a very good Sexton team. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Very competitive every year. All right. Well, you know, Scott, also, you know, later on in today's show, folks, we'll be giving you guys a preview of the East Lansing Trojans versus Mason game, boys soccer, that will be taking place tomorrow. Now, East Lansing has a golden opportunity here, an opportunity that has never happened before in that program's history, and that's to win a back-to-back state championship in boys soccer. Now, for you, Scott, looking at East Lansing and Mason, do you think EL can repeat in this whole thing?
I think they can, and I also think that Mason can win the thing. I think to me these are the two best teams in the state, and so I mean this is going to be such a huge game. In fact, you were talking about teams repeating. Only one team has repeated as a state boys soccer champion in the area.
And wow!
That's Mason,
and that's Mason.
And so yeah, these are maybe the two most historically successful programs, and I've seen both of them play quite a bit this year, and. Of course, I saw them. They played in the CAAC Gold Cup final, and that was a struggle from the get-go. I mean, and it was you know, one goal separated them. I mean, the one decent chance in the game, Mason converted it and won the game. And I expect this game to be the same way. It's going to be a great, great game.
It is going to be a good one. I can't wait to go out there and cover that one tomorrow. Again, that one taking place. East Lansing versus Mason in Holt. Gotta love that. All right, Scott. Scott Yoshanis, local prep sports reporter for the Lansing State Journal. Scott, as always, thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure. I will talk to you.
All right, we'll be in touch, my man. All right, folks, let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll talk some Detroit Lions. Yeah, you don't want to miss any of that conversation. We'll also have our weekend winners. And, yeah, we'll give you a preview of that East Lansing and Mason soccer game by talking with star player DeJuan Jones and head coach Nick Archer. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Offense, 5-yard penalty.
So now a 48-yard field goal attempt to win it after the miss. So you back Prater up 5 yards. We'll watch the snap and the hold. Low again. And this one is good.
Until they make any noise, Al, it's SOL for me.
So you're telling me?
What,
same old Lions.
What eludes you to say that they can't beat the Saints or the Falcons?
Because they haven't played
teams.
A good team outside of the first week.
Well, the Saints and the Falcons aren't great teams, so why can't they beat those
offensive
teams?
Offensive teams, Al. I'm talking they can't.
The
beat
The Saints are not a great offensive team.
Yes, they are.
The
they
Falcons.
Put up 37 points
against who?
Against
my
the Bucks.
Grandma? Come
against
on.
Against the Bucks.
You got to be kidding me, Al. They will beat the Saints and the Falcons. I'm saying it right now. I think they will. They will beat New Orleans and Atlanta. Right in time for Megatron to come back. I'm going to say it right now. Oh, boy. And not to toot my own horn. Not to toot it. But tooty to toot, toot, toot. You know, it was a shot in the dark, folks. You know, I was feeling very emotional that day on Current Sports. And, you know, just looking at how the Lions have been playing, you know, I was certainly sipping the Kool-Aid. And the Kool-Aid is tasting really good right now, Alex. The Lions, man. Big wins against New Orleans, comeback wins against New Orleans, and the Atlanta Falcons. Woo! How you feeling, Alex? Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, you know what? That horn's loud. We can hear it. But guess what? Guess what, Al? Like I said, talk to me when the Lions have at least 10 wins.
Can I get some props on that, though?
Yeah, it was a great call.
I never get predictions right. And for those of you who know me, I mean, my goodness, I am terrible at predictions. Unless they're just blatant, you know, just concrete. And then, you know, it was a shot in the dark. You know, I was just looking at how the Lions were playing the momentum, and they seem very resilient and are showing how resilient they are. But, Alex, I guess we start the conversation talking about this game in London on Sunday. I mean, Sunday morning, an early start, early rise. I will admit, I slept in a little bit on Sunday, like I do each and every Sunday. I missed the first half, but caught the second half and just saw how the Lions were able to pull out that game. And I'm sitting there when I woke up and I looked at my phone and saw the update and saw that the Lions were down in that game. I'm like, whoa, what is going on here? But my, oh my, first off, I got to give props to Golden Tate. I think Golden Tate has been such a staple on this Detroit Lions offense. Where in the world, where would this Detroit Lions offense be without this man? I mean, he followed up his 10 catch, 154 yard and 73-yard TD catch performance against the Saints with a 7-catch, 151-yard, and 59-yard TD catch performance against the Falcons. I mean, the kid is insane in the membrane. Golden Tate seems to be bringing a championship mentality to this Detroit Lions offense and Detroit Lions team in general. Of course, Golden Tate being a former wide receiver for the defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks. I mean, the man just gets it done. He just makes catches, folks. That's what he does. He's been awesome. Matthew Stafford, I got to give some props to him because Matthew, these past 2 weeks, has really made the most of his weapons, which didn't feature, you know, if you just want to look at Sunday's game, didn't feature Calvin Johnson. Didn't feature Reggie Bush, didn't feature Eric Ebron, didn't feature Brandon Pettigrew, didn't feature Joseph Fourier. I mean, my goodness, those are, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5 players right there, 5 integral parts that could easily make a staple on any game each and every Sunday for the Lions. He was out those weapons, and Matthew Stafford got the job done against the Saints and against the Falcons. I'm a little wary now, though, because Nick Fairley, if you watch that game, got injured in the second quarter. Rookie Kerryon Reed replaced Fairley. And the Lions defensive line, I will say, they did a decent job of putting pressure on Matt Ryan and containing running back Steven Jackson throughout most of that game. If you remember, Jackson only had 60 yards and 1 touchdown. For a guy like Steven Jackson, hey, that's pretty good work. That's pretty good work by that Lions defensive line. I felt as though the Lions in the first half, at least, the defense could have been, you know, a little better, definitely a little better. They let up some big plays. They weren't as crisp, but as the game got on, they did get better. Now, it's being reported Nick Fairley is going to be out some week, folks. He's going to be out some weeks. So that is certainly going to hurt the Lions defense without a doubt. But I don't think they'll take too many steps back in that regard. But hey, good win for the Lions, you know, back-to-back wins now. Holding it down in the NFC North. But I will say this, the Lions can't keep having to pull out close wins, though. These close wins they've had these past 2 weeks, it can leave you a little bit uneasy, because they're always playing from behind. They've been showing resiliency in doing so. But at some point, you know, the Lions have to have a maintained focus and be consistent throughout an entire game. So if there's anything negative that the Lions have to improve on, it's not playing from behind and getting wins that way. It's a good staple that they are, but it's got to end at some point. It just wears on you at some point, Alex.
Yeah, aside from just playing from behind, that's a problem. The opposite problem the Michigan State football team had was playing and finishing the games. Another aspect to the Lions is exactly that, Al. It's finishing the games. The play calling at the end of the game, the clock management, because let's be honest, Al, without that defensive hold, you're rushing Hail Mary onto the field and then trying to get off a field goal with 17 seconds left, and it's just going to be chaos. So for me, that was another big aspect that I think you can't ignore, is watching that play calling in the second half. I'm not sure if Caldwell was asked about that or what the management was. Maybe he was, but what are your thoughts on that? Do you agree?
I thought the play calling was great in the second half.
I
disagree with you.
You don't think that at the end of the game, with 17 seconds, it's 3rd and 5.
Yeah.
They can't spike the ball anymore. They don't have any timeouts.
Right.
So if they went for it on 3rd and 5, they don't get the first down, it's 4th down, and you got 17 seconds to get your field goal team on the field. I mean, that's not a lot of time, Al.
Yeah, but those are moments that the Lions and Jim Caldwell, this isn't the Lions team of old, though. And again, I said that last week. If this was a Jim Schwartz coach team, they would have lost both of these games, without a doubt. Jim Caldwell was showing that he knows the right buttons to push, and this is one thing that stands out to me about Jim Caldwell. Even in those moments, Jim Caldwell was so cool on the sidelines, there was no panic by the Lions in those situations. They knew what they wanted to do, and they executed. Simple as that. So as far as the play calling goes, I mean, I thought, to be honest, it was very well executed by Jim Caldwell. I don't know. I wouldn't harp on that too much.
Yeah, but I see what you're saying with if Jim Schwartz was coach, and maybe the outcome would have been different.
They would have lost. Not maybe. They would have lost. The Detroit Lions team
I don't think you could say that, though.
They would have lost these games.
You don't know if they wouldn't have gotten the delay game again.
Look, just going off how terrible the Lions have been in the clutch year after year after year, there's nothing that alludes to the Lions pulling off a win like this in the Jim Schwartz era. Totally different. Jim Caldwell, on the other hand, I thought it was a very well-executed drive on that last drive of the game to spike it, put 4 seconds on the clock, you know, and give – thank goodness, though. I will say this. I mean, thank goodness there was a delay of game penalty, or else we would be this whole conversation would be taking a different tone here. But there was, and the Lions pulled out the win. You can't argue with that. So, overall, I think, you know, Jim Caldwell's he's changing the culture, man. I think Jim Caldwell, game by game, is changing the culture of this Lions team.
Well, the other part that I'm wondering is, as much as it looks like things are changing, they're still 6-2. 2011, they were also 6-2. They've been also 6-3. So you're telling me that there's not any little doubt in your mind that the Lions could lose? Or I mean, let's say they go, what? They're 6-2, they got 8 games left. Let's say they go 4-4. Let's say they're 10-6. Mm-hmm. There's a possibility that they still might not even make the playoffs with that
record. That's the thing.
Which is sad.
That's something I wanted to bring up. It's sad, but it just goes to show how competitive it is in the NFC right now. There are legitimately, I think that right now, there's going to be one, maybe two, 10-win teams in the NFC that may not make the playoffs this year. It is that competitive, and you got to bring it each and every week right now. I mean, there are so many good teams in the NFC that are just getting the job done, including the Detroit Lions. So, you know, with this whole situation in the playoffs with the NFL and the wild card situation in the NFL, I mean, you're going to have a 10-win team in the wild card that, you know, may not get any further. So it's going to be interesting. You know, so they got the Dolphins coming up. They got the Arizona Cardinals coming up, who I think is, in my opinion right now, if I had to give some power rankings here, I think the Arizona Cardinals are probably one of the best, if not the best team in the NFL right now. They are just rolling. rolling right now. Hats off to the Arizona Cardinals. It's truly unbelievable what Bruce Arians has done with that squad. But yeah, I mean you and the Dolphins, you can't sleep on the Dolphins at all either. I think the Dolphins have been having a year that is exceeding a few people's expectations, including my own. But yeah, so those aren't lollipop games they have coming up. So they got to bring it. I think it's going to be an entertaining game for both of those. But hey, you got to be encouraged that the Lions are simply just pulling out wins. Their third straight, they win against Minnesota after losing to Buffalo. They get the win against the Saints. They get the win against the Falcons. And this is key. This is a perfect time for the bye week for them now, because as I just stated, I mean, they have so many injuries on this team. Calvin Johnson, Reggie Bush, Eric Ebron, Pettigrew, Fourier. This is the perfect time to have a bye week, because you rest those individuals and get them healthy just in time against a tough stretch of the season.
Right, tough stretch. I mean, you got away games against great teams, the Pats, the Cardinals. So game by game, Al, how do you think the Lions finish? You have 8 games left. Which games are? So let's start with the first game, the Dolphins.
Oh, boy, you put me on the spot early, man.
I'm challenging. You're sold. You're drinking the Kool-Aid with the Lions, man.
They'll win against the Dolphins, lose against the Cardinals.
Okay, so that's 1-1, and then the Patriots at New England.
Give me some time here. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. I will say the next two games, I think they'll...
I don't think the Lions win any more than 4 more games.
Who they lose to?
I say they lose at Green Bay at the end of the year. They lose to the Cardinals.
Green Bay. You see how bad Green Bay is? Saints beat Green Bay. They whooped on Green Bay on Sunday night.
It's a long season.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's hard to predict
The Packers are game off.
I mean, that's December 28th, though. We're still in October here. I mean, to say that the Lions are going to lose to the Packers and it's only October, I think it's kind of just... I mean, that's too premature, I think. Don't you think?
I don't know, man. I mean, you have a good idea of how good the teams are right now.
That's December 28th, though. I mean, like I said, the ebb and flow of an NFL season, it changes from week to week.
Exactly. So that's why you shouldn't be sipping the Kool-Aid with the Lions.
But I'm sipping the Kool-Aid because right now they're showing me some things that this could last. They're showing resiliency. Resiliency lasts throughout a season.
And look at past Super Bowl champions. You're telling me that the Super Bowl champions wasn't playing amazing at the beginning of the year?
Alex, you bashed the Lions when they won against they beat the Vikings.
I did not bash them.
And you said that you heard the clip. Do we need to play the clip again?
I'm just saying I'm not sold on the Lions.
But you're sitting here saying they're going to lose against the Packers in the last game of the year. Come on, that's way too premature. Let's take it week by week here. That's way too far. Dolphins and Cardinals are the next 2 weeks after this week's bye. I'm saying they beat the Dolphins and they lose against the Cardinals.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, there we go. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll give you a preview of a local high school soccer match that's pretty big, folks. East Lansing takes on Mason. I took a trip out to East Lansing boys soccer practice yesterday and chatted with head coach Nick Archer and star player DeWine Jones. You don't want to miss that. We'll return in a blink of an eye. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, we are taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m., about 20 minutes left in the show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We have our friend Ray. Ray is on line one. Ray, my man, how you doing?
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How you doing, bud?
I'll tell you, that wasn't really good hospitality for Freddie Flintstone and David Brand. We come down there 3 days early and paid for a hotel and everything, and then we put the spike in the ground and shake our fist at Michigan State, and then some guys with white stripes come up there and said, we're going to have to play a football game. And he said, yabba dabba do. I don't know what that's all about.
And, folks, if you don't know who Fred Flintstone is that Ray is talking about, he's talking about Brady Hoke. It was one of those games and one of those moments that I just kind of shook my head. It was a rallying cry for the Michigan State football team and something that, we still are talking about 2 days later. I mean, but is this really a surprise, Ray? I mean, were you surprised that Michigan State had the outcome that it did over the Wolverines on Saturday?
No.
Exactly. No. Come on now.
They're pretty bad. I tell you, I'm praying this week that Indiana can put them in the cellar.
Yeah?
I think they could. You know, that running back could go for a couple hundred yards, hopefully. But they lost their quarterback, so I don't know how good. Hey, you know, I was going to tell you something about the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Warner, you remember him, don't you?
Oh, of course I remember Kurt Warner. Former quarterback for the
Hall of Famer. They played the same. Uh, he played with the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, St. Louis Rams won a Super Bowl, I believe.
Yeah, he's 1-2 in Super Bowl. Do you know who's got the top 3 passing records in Super Bowl history?
Who's that?
Kurt Warner. And now, you know about his story, don't you? How her parents got killed in a tornado, his wife and...
No, I don't know that. Enlighten me.
They're going to have a movie about him after he becomes a first ballot Hall of Famer at the end of January. He should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know how many times the St. Louis Rams and the Arizona Cardinals, since he retired 5 years ago, made it to the playoffs? No, none. He played with the 2 worst franchises in NFL history.
Wow.
And he took them to the Super Bowl 3 times. It's an unbelievable story. He was 1-2 in Super Bowls, but he got him the lead in all 3 Super Bowls. But, you know, he can't play defense, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Arizona, to me, this year, their defense is fabulous.
Isn't it? You know, I totally agree with you, Ray. If I had to give a power ranking right now, I mean, I think Arizona is the best team in the league right now. On both ends of the ball, I mean, they are getting the job done. The defense has been spectacular. Bruce Arians, I mean, my goodness. I loved how he pulled the trigger on that last play against the Philadelphia Eagles to win that game, decided to take it all the way down the field, go for the gusto, and it proved to be, you know, the biggest highlight for me out of all of NFL Sunday.
Well, they had a little luck to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Philadelphia went down and scored, but they pushed the guy out of bounds. You know, that was real close. They could have lost that game. But you got to have a little bit of luck. But, you know, good as they have played, until you get in the playoffs, and if you don't get hot then, you can get knocked out too. You know what I mean?
That's true. It's all about momentum, my friend. That's right.
It's just like Michigan State or any of these college teams. It's how you're playing at the end of the year that counts.
That's right. I agree. I agree with you, Ray.
But you think Freddie Flintstone and Brandon are going to hold out the year, or are they going to wait until the end of the year?
Personally, I think that Michigan is going to wait until this year ends to make any moves. I think it's just, you know, Brady Hoke's done. Let's be honest here. Brady Hoke, with the way this season has gone, coupled with the you know, you can't lose back-to-back years against your in-state rival the way that Michigan has done and keep your job. Brady Hoke's done. His numbers, his days are certainly limited in Ann Arbor. As far as Brandon is concerned, I've been kind of reading up on this. I think it all depends on the board when it comes to Brandon. Right. There's a lot of politics when it comes to that firing. But right now, I mean, hey, you know, this is a performance league. This is a performance position. When you talk about, you know, being the head coach at U of M, and Brady Hoke just hasn't performed, it's a wrap for him, I think, Ray.
Well, Brandon's fibbed me a few times. You know, that's early night. I'm a little unhappy with him. But you don't go out and tell people things on the phone and then do something opposite. I think that's just not low integrity. But, you know, we all make mistakes. I'm not saying I'm perfect because I'm not. You know, I mean, I make mistakes in life. We all do.
Exactly.
I have to forgive him, but I don't understand when you come out and say something to some man like me, and then you turn around and do the opposite. That's not integrity, is it?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear what you're saying, Ray. No, that's definitely a good take on it. Hey, Ray, thanks a lot for your call, my man. Interesting perspective there. I mean, yeah, I think Brady Hoke's days are numbered, and there's a lot of political politics. I think when you talk about the firing of Dave Brandon, it had to be ironed out.
And the funniest part was at the end of the game. I don't know if you caught this, but the Michigan State student section. Did you hear what they were yelling? What they were chanting? They were chanting, "Keep Brady Hoke. Keep Brady Hoke."
I'm sure they were. They want Brady Hoke there because they allude to some
and
more years
thing.
Of Michigan
I mean,
State success.
Right. So I mean, if you have that, if you have the student section. Michigan State chanting that's the telltale sign.
There
for
was
me.
Actually a plane that flew over either Spartan Stadium. I'm not sure the location of the plane, either Spartan Stadium or in Ann Arbor. I'm not sure. That said, please keep Brady Hoke. Did you see that?
I did not see.
Google that,
that
one, my friend. Google. There's a picture of it. There's a picture. I'm not sure if it was in East Lansing or Ann Arbor. I'm not sure, but yeah, folks, we'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 o'clock, just like Ray just called in. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, though, folks, I want to get to a feature that I went out actually to East Lansing High School. Well, actually, the East Lansing Soccer Complex is where the East Lansing boys soccer team, they practice at. And head coach Nick Archer, he's a fantastic coach, one of the nicest guys you ever meet in your life. And, you know, player DeJuan Jones. DeJuan Jones, he's one of the best players, local boys soccer players in the area. DeJuan Jones, he's actually been recruited by Michigan State and has decided to take his talents, with him being a senior this year, to Michigan State next year. So he'll be rocking the green and white next season. He's a fantastic player. He actually had 5 goals by himself. He's been on a tear, folks. He had 5 goals. I believe it was during the district matchup. 5-1, all on DeJuan Jones. He had the game winner against Spring Lake last week to propel his team into this matchup against Mason. Again, that will be taking place tomorrow. A big, big game, big, big moment for this East Lansing Trojans team, and also Mason as well. So I went out to practice and chatted with Coach Nick Archer and DeJuan about what this moment means, a chance to win back-to-back state championships, a feat that has never been accomplished in their program's history.
First off, Coach, I mean, you have a pretty golden opportunity here to do something that hasn't been done before in this program's history. You've gotten close before. You've gotten close, but you know, no cigar. But you got an opportunity. You got to be foaming at the mouth a little bit, right?
Well, our first opportunity is to take care of the next game. And then we do have a chance if we're successful there, which we plan on being. We want to take care of business there.
Are you feeling a little pressure?
More opportunity than pressure.
More opportunity than pressure. Expound upon that.
Well, it's a great opportunity so we can be the first team to ever win back-to-back state championships for East Lansing. And that'll be really exciting.
What was it like winning the first one?
It was great. We just felt really proud. I mean, that's the ultimate goal for every team, and to get that was just special.
When looking at the squad that you have this year, Nick, I mean, what makes this team so special?
Well, we have some talented players. They're starting again at this time to play their best soccer, which helps,
right?
Because we play the best teams at this time. So everything's kind of falling into line at the right times, which is doesn't happen all the time, but we're very fortunate the last couple of years it's happened.
That's certainly a masterful formula. I mean, they're clicking at the right time, right when they need to at the end of the season. How do you ensure throughout the course of a year that they do spring at the right time? That's got to be a tough job.
Yeah, there's no guarantee. You just keep harping at them, and then, you know, and you hope, and sometimes it kicks in.
I want to rewind time a little bit to last week facing Spring Lake. DeJuan Jones, he puts in the game winner for you all. Back to your mindset as a coach on the sidelines watching what's taking place. Before that moment happened, what was going through your mind?
How we're going to prepare for the overtime. Changes that we're making. We're thinking ahead because there's only a minute left in the game. You know, you got to be thinking ahead. And
yeah.
DeJuan got a pass from Zach Lane and broke open and at the last second decided to change his angle of his shot, and it paid off. Went right in there.
What did you do? What went through your head when that ball went in?
Well, it was just like a big weight was lifted off of you. I mean, it's over.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it was a real – that's never happened. We never won a big game like that in the last under, you know, 54 seconds ago.
There was a throw-in for us, and, like, our fans were, like, in the way. So the ref had to, like, move him back, which gave us, like, a minute, like, to rest because he was talking to the fans. And then it was a bad throw-in, and Zach Lane got the ball in the middle and was just dribbling, and he just told me to make a run. So I made a run to the left on the left side. And he passed it to me. I just took a touch and flicked it with my right foot to the far side.
So once that happened, I mean, what'd you do, lose your mind?
Yeah, yeah.
Mayhem ensued after that, huh?
Yeah.
How does it feel, I mean, to be in this position where, again, you've knocked off a team back-to-back now. You guys now move on to play Mason on Wednesday, I believe, number one ranked Mason. I mean, what's this feeling like knowing, I mean, that it's really sky's the limit at this point in the season for you guys?
Yes, I mean, Mason's a great team, so we're really looking forward to play that game. And they beat us earlier in the year, so looking to get some revenge.
They did beat you guys. How did that game go? What was the score of that one?
It was 1-0. We just had one, like, bad marking on a corner kick, and they finished it. So it was a back-and-forth game.
To have an opportunity to, like you said, enact revenge on a team like Mason, who is the number one ranked team, you guys are number four coming into that matchup. I mean, what's an opportunity like that? And what are you guys amongst your teammates? I mean, what are you guys saying to each other on the brink of this one?
I mean, we're looking forward to it. We think we can beat them. Like, when we played them the first time, we had chances. We just didn't finish them. So just finishing our chances and being more solid defensively, marking.
What kind of team is Mason? What kind of team? What did you see the first time that makes them such a dangerous team, I should say?
They're very good attacking, and they are very dangerous from set pieces. So we can't give away any corner kicks or free kicks from far because they can get their head to it.
You will be taking your talents to Michigan State University. You will be a Spartan playing for the MSU men's soccer team. I mean, you know, first off, what is your entire high school career been like up until this point? And how in the world did you get interested in the game of soccer?
I mean, at East Lansing, it's been great. I mean, the coaches are great, and our community really likes soccer. And to go to all the games and support us is really nice. And I got into soccer in, I think, kindergarten. And I was 5, I was playing for Sankofa Shule, and my coach was telling my parents at a young age that I was like a special player. And then I just kept with it and kept getting better. So that's when I began to love the sport, when I was 5.
Was there a moment where you were like, man, I'm pretty good at this thing?
No.
No. You never had a pinch me moment at all?
No. I mean, winning a state championship was great.
I mean, looking at DeWine and what he's done throughout the course of this year so far, what makes him so special?
Because he's special. He's a good team player. He's got a knack for the game. He loves playing the game, so that's a bonus. Mm-hmm. He's just excited about being here every day and being with his teammates and doing the best job he can. He's really matured as a player here. He's learned to develop his all-around playing ability. So he's up in that elite group.
Where does he rank? I know it's tough to do this, but where does he rank among some of the best players that you've coached throughout your career here?
Well, he's got to be in there. I mean,
top five.
I would give him the top 10, top 5, top 3. You know, he's we've had some very talented players who've went on and played division. We've had some national player, so he's in that category. When you're a special player, you're a special player.
Yes, and DeWine Jones is certainly a special player. Again, folks, the state semifinal between number one ranked, Mason, and number 4 and defending Division II state champion East Lansing will be played at Holt and will start at 7 p.m. tomorrow. Now, the game will follow a 5 p.m. Division I state semifinal between Canton and Saline, which eliminated number 1 ranked Okemos by a 3-2 score in Saturday's regional final at Grand Rapids Forest Hill Central. And Williamston is the other mid-Michigan area team, which has advanced to a state semifinal. The number 4 ranked Hornets face Tywise at 7 p.m. Wednesday at Clare. So a big day on Wednesday night at 7, as we have a few local teams that have an opportunity to make their state championship dreams come true. All right, well, to wrap up today's show, we want to bring you a segment where we sort of look at the weekend that was in sports. Yes, this past weekend, so much happens, and we try to recap it on a Monday show. Sometimes don't get to all of it. So, you know, we thought to bring about the weekend winner segment to think outside the box and bring to you who we thought had the best weekends. It could be an athlete, coach, or anything for that matter. So here it is, our weekend winners.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
Yes, these are the best around. Let's take a look at the weekend that was in sports and try to cover all our bases and give to you who we thought who had the best weekend in sports. I have 3 here, Alex. 2 of them, you know, the cat has really already been let out the bag throughout our show. Top one being the Arizona Cardinals. I do think they are the best or one of the best. I would say top 2 between them and Denver for me. The 2 best teams in the NFL. But the Arizona Cardinals, what a weekend. My goodness. The Cards with a huge last-second win over the Eagles. They let it fly with time expiring and get that big win over Philly. Now they have wins over Philly, San Diego, and San Francisco in Glendale. So Arizona, my goodness, how good is that team, folks? Got to shout out Matthew Stafford as my 2nd weekend winner. He breaks Bobby Lane's franchise record with his 119th career passing touchdown. Congrats, Matt.
Matthew Stafford is, a quarterback who certainly, you know, the verdict is still out on Matthew Stafford, I think. You know, he can look so good at times, and he can look so bad at times, as he did on the heels of last year's season with the interceptions and the turnover ratio. My goodness. But so far, Matthew Stafford has been pretty solid. And again, you know, he breaks the great Bobby Lane's franchise record, 119th career passing touchdown. And my final weekend winner is one that's near and dear to my heart. I got to shout out my fantasy basketball team, Alex. You actually, I feel bad for you because you actually missed our draft on Sunday night, Alex. The NBA season is starting tonight, of course, and you missed our draft. But, you know, I happen to be logged in. My team is a beast. I think I pretty much have the best team in our league, okay? I got check out this lineup. Dwayne Wade. I got Klay Thompson, Deron Williams, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Lance Stephenson, Tim Duncan, Nerlens Noel, Tony Parker, Roy Hibbert, Kevin Durant, Brandon Jennings, and I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name, but I've been reading him up. I think I'm saying it the right way. Antetokounmpo, have you heard of him? Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It sounds like you rigged the league.
No, not... Isn't that an incredible squad?
I mean, so incredible, man.
Kevin Durant and LeBron James. You know, props to my squad.
I wonder how you got that, man.
I did
pretty good. Must have been Sherlock, you know?
No.
Sherlock.
You slept on Sunday. I don't know what you were doing on Sunday night. But, yeah, that's when our draft was. Hey, don't hate the play. Hate the game, baby. Shout out to my fantasy team, man. So those are my weekend winners.
Might as well give up. Well, the only other weekend winner I have, which was actually yesterday, but we got to give him credit today, Colt McCoy from the Washington Redskins to go to his home state of Texas with a Redskins team that no one knows the answer to. You got two quarterbacks that were up and down all year, one that never got in the game. So for Colt to go in there against one of the best teams in the league in the Cowboys, there you go, Al, to go in there and get a win on the road in Dallas, props to Colt McCoy. He hasn't started a game in forever. So
yeah, he hasn't started since 2011, actually. I watched that whole game, and, yeah, the Redskins put a dagger through my heart. But, man, oh, man, yeah, Colt McCoy, he had a rocky start to the game, rocky start here and there. But, hey, he hasn't had a start in 3 years. What do you expect? But Colt McCoy, he showed up. My goodness, he showed up when they needed him most. Some unbelievable plays, some improvisation on a few plays. Hey, that's a pretty good weekend winner, my man, even though it was Monday. But still, I see where you're going. But, yeah, Colt McCoy was fantastic. And, man, that was just a good Monday night football game. It is rare that you get to see a Monday night football game like that that had some added drama. Tony Romo goes down, and, you know, I'm sitting there like, oh, goodness, here we go. He was not even moving. And then Tony Romo goes to the locker room, returns in the fourth quarter, and, you know, goes to overtime, and he has that stalled drive after the made field goal by the Redskins to end the game. But, yeah, that's a very, very good one, man. All right, well, Weekend Winners is in the books. With 2 minutes left in the show, Alex, we're actually about to head to the Breslin Center for MSU Men's Basketball Media Day. Tom Izzo will be addressing the media members at 2 o'clock. So right when we get off the air, we'll have to jet over there and get ready for that presser. It's going to be an hour-long presser as Tom is going to give a rundown on his expectations and going to give a player-by-player analysis of his whole team and so on and so forth. What are you looking forward to for Media Day?
Yeah, a lot this year. I mean, coming into it, I was looking forward to see the leadership, but we've already kind of seen that with Tom Izzo's former comments. I'm kind of looking to see, with the leaders now, you have your captain selected, what makes this team an NCAA champion team, if anything? You know, I mean, I know it's early to tell, but last year they had the most talent. They may not have had the leadership, but Tom Izzo said something different is this year. So what is that X factor this year?
Yeah, certainly. That's a good one. I'm just looking forward to hoops being back, man. I'm a big hoops guy. Hoops is my favorite sport. I've been playing it for I don't know how long. And, you know, just to have MSU basketball back, I mean, I love it. It's nothing like it. So I'm excited to pick Tom Izzo's brain as well as the players on this roster. And to talk about, that Javon Best injury. That's crazy. But you've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic Tuesday. And be easy, people.